Amen. Thank you, Amy. What an encouragement, I tell you what. And I want to just affirm and endorse the words of the scriptures to keep up your courage in this interesting time. Today, after this service, we have an all-church prayer meeting, and notice in the stories that he told, they began with prayer, and so prayer is the most powerful weapon perhaps we have, if you will. And so after the service, right up above this room upstairs in the second floor is our prayer meeting. And you can get there through the staircases outside in the lobby. There's an elevator here over to the side as well. So it says all church prayer meeting for a reason. All means all. So any of you that can come, I'd encourage you to come and pray with us afterwards. For those of you who are remote, we've got a code for you to tap into for the prayer meeting that came through this week's letter that we send out. And so you can get there through Zoom, so we encourage you to do that. And with that in mind, let me again take our time in the Word before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we open up your Word, that you will work in our lives, that your Spirit would illuminate truth, and then convict us and empower us and direct us to apply it for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Works better when you turn it on, right? In God we trust. In God we trust. The stories we've heard are about trusting in God. And we are digging into some powerful perspective from the book of Proverbs. It's a series in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And last week we looked at verses 1 through 4, in God we trust with obedience. I encourage you to go back and look at that passage again. This is intended, these 12 verses are sort of intended to be a unit. So verses 5 through 8 today are in God we trust with faith. And then the next two Sundays will be in God we trust with investment, verses 9 and 10, and with discipline, verses 11 and 12. And so without further ado, let me turn our attention to Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 this morning. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." You may recall last time we talked about Hank mentioned this, and I'm excited for your high impact class, Hank, where you said the English language doesn't always do justice to some of these rich Hebrew words. And the same was what we talked about last week with what it means to trust God. And we had that Hebrew word batak, if you remember it. And we practiced it last week. And it means, first of all, when answering the question when, to run to or throw upon. So you run to God, you throw yourself upon him. The next question it answers is how? By having confidence in him alone, ultimately. And then finally, what does that look like? To have hope, to be bold, to be secure, to be sure, to be carefree. When you said, Haney, have courage, keep up your courage, as we trust in God, that's what this is meaning, to trust God. Your team has to activate these things, that to walk in step with the Lord, doing these things in their lives, to run to and throw upon the Lord, have confidence in him, and therefore they walk with hope, boldness, security, certainty, and a sense of being carefree, really. Not careless, but carefree, because they're in the hands of the Lord. And perhaps the best picture we have is clinging to the Father. So this whole passage, this whole series, I've been contemplating that picture, remembering that it's that that I do, that you do, if you run to the Lord, is that you cling to him like a child clings to her father or his father. This morning, I want to give you a paradigm. It's something that I've discovered in the passages that I'm going to cover with you today that shows up over and over in Scripture about how we keep proper perspective. This series is about powerful perspective from the book of Proverbs. Well, how do I keep that proper perspective? First, it begins with coming in line with God's perspective. So you got to start there, and what is His perspective? And then from there, it involves our posture. Perspective can lead to posture of fearing the Lord or submitting to Him. And these go back and forth. As I submit to Him, then I am more humble and I am more available and useful to be able to understand more of His perspective and to go in His direction. So they have an interplay. And then the final one is path. So for the purposes of the flow of this slide, you start with God's perspective. It leads you to proper posture as you walk down the proper path. Perspective, posture, path. So let's take a look again at our passage. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths." That's verses 5 and 6. Did you start to see perspective, posture, path? Then verses 7 and 8, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Well, let's accentuate these things, first of all. So the first is proper perspective. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That's the proper perspective. Trust Him with all your heart. I'll talk in a moment about the first instance of sin, the fall of mankind into sin in the Garden of Eden, is that Adam and Eve did not trust God with all their heart. They were deceived and tempted to not trust Him with all their heart. That's ultimately the core of things. He had given them the proper perspective and the posture and the path, and they deviated. Now, what about posture? In all your ways acknowledge Him. There's a humility in that, isn't there? There's an accountability. There's a putting in order of things where I don't trust in myself. I acknowledge Him in everything. And then finally, the path. He'll make your path, make straight your path. Next, be not wise in your own eyes. There's some perspective. You know, we as humans are bent on overestimating ourselves, on believing we are smarter and wiser than we really are. It happens all the time. And Scripture would tell us, be not wise in your own eyes. That's the proper perspective to have. And the posture is fear the Lord. There's a heart-set posture there of fearing the Lord, and there's a physical posture of turning away from evil. Doesn't do a lot of good if you fear the Lord and your heart's there, but your actions go in an evil direction. You know, we don't like the word evil anymore. It seems a little bit severe, a little bit politically incorrect. The Scriptures don't pull punches. Doing that which is sin, which is turning away from the Lord, is evil. So turn away from it, he says. Of course, only in God's strength is that possible. But that's the proper posture. And then finally, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Who wouldn't like to walk down a path of that? Healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You know, as I pondered this passage this week, I asked myself the question why we sometimes don't trust God. And I'll just confess, I put the first person in there first. Why sometimes do I not trust God? Why sometimes do you not trust God? You know, it's easy in an academic way to look at these passages on Sunday morning in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 and go, of course, trust Him with all my heart. Don't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge Him. He'll make straight my paths. Be not wise in my own eyes. Fear God. Turn away from evil. It's going to bring healing and refreshment. Of course. But then, in my case, 5 minutes after the Sunday morning service hits, maybe yours, it goes a little longer than mine. But you know, the rubber meets the road when you walk out of this room. Why we sometimes don't trust God. And the passage shows us some key reasons why. We apply a standard of some of instead of all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But we apply a standard of some of my heart. Or it says, you know, to turn away from evil. Well, I'll sometimes do that instead of always. Did you notice the passage isn't wavering there? It's decisive. It's complete. So here's what this passage begins to look like when we walk it out in our own strength and in the flesh, as the scriptures talk about. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Lean on some of your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge Him. Not all. Do you see the some of versus all dynamic there? Scripture says all, and it's not stuttering, and it doesn't have a code word, and it's not a trick. It just says all. So God's wisdom for us is, trust me with all your heart. Lean not on any of your understanding. All of it needs to be leaning on my understanding. In all your ways, not some, in all, acknowledge me, and I'll make straight your paths. And like I said last week, Proverbs isn't like some jackpot that you insert your token into. It's not some genie's bottle that you rub and you get, boom, the outcome. There are too many of us here in this room who understand that trusting in the Lord with all my heart doesn't always equate to, boom, prosperity, boom, financial success, boom, physical health, etc. That's not really the promise here. The promise is God will make straight your path in the midst of whatever that looks like. And you'll have the comfort and the encouragement and the certainty to keep up your courage in the midst of it. But why we sometimes don't trust God in verses 7 and 8 would look like this. Sometimes be wise in your own eyes. Sometimes fear the Lord. Sometimes turn away from evil. Does anybody have their areas of life where you've sort of cherry-picked it along and you go, well, I'll turn away from evil in 90% of my life, but I'm going to save this 10% for my own indulgence? You know, Hebrews 12 says the word of God pierces us and it lays us bare. All is in sight and not hidden from the one with whom we must give account in Hebrews 4. I don't say that in a sinister way. I say that in a keep up your courage way. When you fear the Lord, when you trust Him, when you go with Him with all of who you are, He makes straight your path. He gives healing and refreshment to you despite the circumstances. And so what a good prayer list this would be. Lord, will you help me to trust you, not just with some of my heart, but all of my heart? Will you help me to lean not just on some of my own understanding, but all of your understanding? Will you help me to not just in some of my ways acknowledge you, but in all of my ways acknowledge you? Lord, will you help me to always believe that you're the wise one and never be wise in my own eyes? Will you help me to always completely, decisively fear you? Will you help me to turn away from evil today? And if you're like me, again, you know, I am going to the Lord 50 times a day, crying out to Him, reminding myself of the power of the gospel. The very power that He saved me with, I take no credit for my salvation, only trusting in God, is how I'm supposed to also walk out my Christian life. No power of my own, all of His power. And so why would I not go to the manufacturer and activate the warranty over and over. I look at what you said. I need a million certificates flowing down on that warranty. Lord, will you? Matthew 6:24 says this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Do you see the interplay? You can't do both. You can't be a some of person. You can't be a sometimes person. Scripture's paradigm doesn't work that way. And then, as we've talked about, you cannot serve God and money. We'll, in a moment, talk about the stewardship angle of that. As I mentioned at the head of this series, we're going to use as a primary illustration during this entire series what it looks like to trust God in our finances, in the way we steward the possessions and money that He has given us. It's all His. What does that look like? So we'll come back to this verse in a couple minutes. And then there's a why beneath the why, though. So we said there's sometimes versus all, or some of versus all. But how about this? Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 gives us a definition of faith or trust. And in it, we see the reasons beneath the reason as to why we don't trust God. It says in Hebrews 11, 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And in verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." So why we sometimes don't trust God, some of versus all, sometimes versus always. But then picking out from Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, 1 and 6, faded hope, the assurance of things hoped for. But when hope fades, we struggle to trust God. And I can't tell you enough that it requires going back to the Lord and asking Him, "Would you remind me of your goodness and your path and what I have my hope in?" I see some people here who have gone through tough physical things. I see people here who are standing by loved ones who are going through tough physical things. And I've been privileged to hear some of the perspective from these people. There's no way they keep on reporting on what God is doing unless they keep re-upping on the person in whom they are hoping, and they are not hoping in circumstance, they are hoping in the Lord. They must. But hope fades. Impaired vision, the conviction of things not seen, the things that are eternal are not seen, the things that are temporal are seen. What's right in front of me impairs my vision to what really is from eternity's perspective. Why we don't trust God is our vision gets impaired. I get caught up in my moment and my circumstances. And again, I'm not here to minimize circumstances. I just lost my mom, for crying out loud, and she got rushed to the hospital, which was teeming with coronavirus patients. Now, fortunately, we were able to get her out of there and spend time with her at the end of the day. But I'm telling you, hope was at stake and vision was at stake there. And it is for you in your circumstance. A wandering path. Whoever would draw near to God, or are we drawing near to everything else? Every other person, every other philosophy, every other worldview, every other social media post. Whoever would draw, I love how it says it. And sometimes we go back past these phrases, whoever would draw near to God. It's implied, it's almost implied. You got to come to me. And then the last is, must believe that God exists and He rewards those who seek Him. Sometimes I have wandering belief. Am I wanting to trust in anyone and anything else other than Him? These are the reasons why we sometimes don't trust God. We have a sum of versus all mentality, or a sometimes versus always. Our hope fades, our vision gets impaired, we wander from the path, and we waver in belief. But listen to what Psalm 86 says as an antidote. "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart. There's the deal. Unite it. When we do not trust God, it's because we have a divided heart. Did you hear the Matthew 6 passage? You cannot do it in the biblical paradigm. You'll serve one or the other, but you'll keep vacillating. Unite my heart to fear your name. And so, applying kind of the echoes of our path and our posture and our perspective, this is what Psalm 86 looks like. It starts with prayer or petition. Teach me your way, O Lord. Direction. There's some perspective in there. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Again, perspective. Unite my heart to fear your name. So petition, direction, execution, union, and adoration. It's a great verse. I would encourage you to memorize Psalm 86:11. You can do it this week. Just continue to repeat it and meditate on it, and you'll have it like that. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Wouldn't that be an incredible prayer? So we keep that proper perspective, and we do it with stewardship. You can't serve two masters. You're going to be devoted to one or the other, despise the other, hate one, love the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, the encouraging information, as I said last week, is I'm not coming to you with a hands-out approach when I talk about stewardship here. Rounding up, we're $88,000 better than what we budgeted for giving for this fiscal year, which began September 1st. That's awesome. You can clap. It's good. Here's another one that you can applaud the Lord for. Actual giving to this point in our fiscal year, which began September 1st, is $206,000 than it was at the same point in the last fiscal year. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. And so I want you to know that, because I want you to know I'm not coming like this to you as a representative or a leader of this church. But here's what I wrote in my notes. Stewardship is stewardship in times of want, and stewardship is stewardship in times of plenty. It is what it is. Apply the sum of versus all principle, or the sometimes versus always principle to it. Being a steward of all that God has given you, which includes giving, is an always proposition in Scripture. It's not a sometimes proposition. It's not a sum of proposition. Stewardship is stewardship. And the Bible speaks of stewardship in financial areas as much as just about any topic, if you were to line up topics in Scripture. So I'm convinced God wants us to know about this. And so with that in mind, let me jump ahead to the verse for next week that Pastor Jay will be covering. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. He'll cover verse 10 as well. But let's apply our perspective, posture, path paradigm to this for a moment by connecting a few pieces, other pieces from God's word. Look what it says in Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. Do you think he left anything out? The earth, the world, those who dwell in it is whose? God's. It's the Lord's. Look what Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18a says, one of my favorite few verses. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of your hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. This was the warning that Moses gave to the Israelites as they entered the land, and he basically told them, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get in there, you're going to get all fat and rich, and you're going to say, ha ha, look at my success. But you're going to forget that God brought you there, God provided it, and if you say, well, but I'm a hard worker, I earned it, even God gives you the strength to and the power to get wealth. As far as I can tell, between Psalm 24:1 and Deuteronomy 8:17a, it's knocked out all of the crutches and all of the excuses from humanity. It is God's, it's his power, it's his resources. So then we come back to the verse, perspective and posture, right? So what's the path? Back to Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. If Psalm 24:1 is true, if Deuteronomy 8, 17, and 18 is true, then Proverbs 3:9 is an execution point. It's an inflection point for us as we contemplate, how do I apply this to my life? Well, honor him with my wealth and with the first fruits, not the last fruits, not the second fruits. The first of my wealth, the first of my possessions, it's the Lord's. I give back to him. And I get it. It's scary to let it go. A paycheck to paycheck life is one where you say, hey, and maybe even the upside downness of things sometimes. And you go, how in the world could I do that? Stewardship is stewardship in times of want and in times of plenty. I encourage you to turn to the Lord and ask him, what does this look like for me? And sort of have a mindset that, Lord, it's not if I will obey this, but when I obey this, as I obey this, what will you have me do? Let's turn to our connection card and we'll be done. If you've got a connection card nearby, you grab it and you can fill it out. I encourage you to please do that. And you can either leave it in your seat or put it in the box on one of the boxes on the pillars outside of this room. If you've got it online, go ahead and click over and you can fill it out and push submit. The first is, I will trust God to save me. Everything I've been talking about means nothing if the Lord Jesus is not your Savior. And so I encourage you, if you have not trusted Jesus alone to save you, if you've not said, I can't save myself, everything preacher's saying to me this morning is about an all or nothing thing, that's what the gospel looks like. I can do nothing. He does it all. And he came. We don't have to do it to get to him, but he came to us as we've just celebrated in Christmas. He lived a perfect life, the God-man did. He died the death we deserve. He was buried and he rose again, something we could never do, but conquered the power of death, paid the penalty for sin, and has offered salvation to all who will simply believe that he is the Savior. I want to encourage you to trust God to save you today. If you have not, let us know that either in that box or in the other part of the connection card that says, I want to know more about a relationship with the Lord. We will get in touch with you and connect with you on that. Next, I will acknowledge God in all things this week. Now, I put this week, obviously, my encouragement is at all times. But I want to just give you a challenge this week. Take this challenge. This week, in all the things you do, in everything you do, ask God to prick your heart, prick your mind to say, how would I acknowledge him in all of it? I'm going to the store today. How do I acknowledge God in that? You're with me. I'm your ambassador. What's it look like when you're standing in the checkout line and you got a kid clawing at your kneecaps and things are stressful and the person in the express lane put 50 items there? What's it look like to acknowledge God in that? Or when things don't go like you planned for in your project at work or in your assignment at school or in your gathering with loved ones? I'll acknowledge God in all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not some of, not sometimes, all your ways. And then finally, I will identify evil in my life and turn away from it this week. Now, this starts with activating the warranty. It starts with going to the manufacturer. It starts saying, Lord, where is it that I am turning to evil in my life? Where am I holding on to that 10% that I don't want anybody else to know about? Because you do. Will you give me the strength to turn away from evil? This week, just this week, will you give me the strength that as I call on your name, will you do what you say you will do to provide a way of escape from temptation that I may be able to endure it? This week, I want you to grab me in the halls next week. I'm going to go to my mom's memorial service. I probably won't be here next week. But the following week, you grab me in the halls and you tell me how it went for the week where you acknowledge God in everything and you turned away from evil in your life. Tell me how it went. Write me. I want to hear how God should be praised in that. I can't wait for the awesome stories. I love you all. What a privilege it is to bring the Word of God to you. What a privilege it is to partner with teammates like Haney, partner with teammates like these precious brothers and sisters up here. My heart is full. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. I love you. God bless you.